Turn to Matthew. If you brought your Bible first, hold it up. Let's see it. Get them up. That's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. Look at all these Bibles in here. I'll tell you what. Did you bring a Bible?
Yes.
Okay. I thought you was going to hold a hymnal. We are armed and dangerous this morning. We got the Word of God with us today. Open to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. It is in the New Testament. First book. First chapter. We'll start at the first verse. Matthew chapter 1. If you have found it, tell me what page you're on. Alrighty, very good. I'm so glad you found it. I got some help that's going to help me read the first 16 verses. Y'all know how I am with these Bible names. I stumble and trip and fall and sputter. You say that, but it doesn't matter how much I practice. But this guy, he's got him down. So listen to the first 16 verses.
Jacob, he had Judah in his kin. Then Perez and Zerah came from Judah's woman Tamar. Perez, he brought Hezron up, and then came Aram, then Amminadab, then Nashon, who was then the dad of Salmon, who with Rahab fathered Boaz. Ruth, she married Boaz, who had Obed, who had Jesse. Jesse, he had David, who we know as king. David, he had Solomon by dead Uriah's wife. Solomon, well, you all know him. He had good old Rehoboam, followed by Abijah, who had Asa. Asa had Jehoshaphat, had Joram, had Uzziah, who had Jotham, then Ahaz, then Hezekiah. By Manasseh, who had Amon, who was a man, who was father of a good boy named Josiah, who grandfather Jehoiakim, who caused the Babylonian captivity because he was a liar. Then he had Shealtiel, who begat Zerubbabel, who had Abiud, who had Eliakim. Eliakim had Azar, who had Zadok, who had Achim. Achim was the father of Eliab. Then he had Eleazar, who had Nathan, who had Jacob. Listen very closely, I don't want to sing this twice. Jacob was the father of Joseph, husband of Mary, mother of Christ.
Like that. Didn't want to sing it twice. Verse 17. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until the Christ are 14 generations. Now verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and he did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you that all of this worked out according to your plan, the plan that you had before the foundation of the earth. Thank you for doing that great work, and thank you that we can benefit because of Christ. We can have our sins forgiven. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when it comes around Christmas time, we tend to have some tremendously high expectations. We want everything to be perfect. Perfect. We have pictures in our minds of children playing and choirs singing and people smiling and everybody getting along. Wouldn't that be a miracle? But often it's just not that way, is it? It's supposed to be, as the song says, the most wonderful time of the year and the happiest season of all. But for many, it will be a very difficult time because something has interrupted the joy. It may be sickness or death or divorce or discouragement. Could be loneliness. Whatever it is, something has gotten in the way, something unexpected. And we all of a sudden don't have the joy that we expected to have around Christmas time. We look to the Christmas season to be a time of perfect peace, perfect harmony and joy. But listen, the first Christmas, it wasn't that way. Not even close. It was an interruption. Interruptions can happen at any time. Any time. Think about the timing of Joseph and Mary's interruption. They were engaged to be married, and like Christmas and engagement, supposed to be this wonderful time. But it was during this time that an angel appeared to Mary and told her that she would miraculously, as a virgin, conceive and give birth to the Son of God. That's joyful news, but man, was it in an interruption. It wasn't their plan at all. This didn't fit in with their idea of what this engagement period was supposed to be. How was she going to explain her pregnancy to Joseph? Would he believe her? Would he be willing to take on that responsibility? And listen, you know, as a father, it's tough being a dad. There's a whole lot of responsibility. Especially if it's all girls. It's just really hard. Can you imagine, though, raising God the Son? What an awesome responsibility. Tremendous responsibility. The pressure was on. This wasn't their plan. Yet Mary accepted it. She says, "Lord, whatever you want, I'll do." We know how Joseph responded. He didn't believe her. You know, if you think about it from a human point of view, how could he believe her? His plans for a happy home with a woman he loved were ruined right before his eyes. His life, as well as hers, had been not just a little bit interrupted, had been powerfully interrupted. Have you ever had an idea of what you thought you were going to do, only to have God toss in a different plan? And his plan and your agenda doesn't necessarily fit, so one of y'all got to adjust. Guess who adjusts? We do, when God tosses a plan in on us. How did you deal with that when that happened? Were you flexible? Did you willingly make the required adjustments? Or did you whine and moan and complain like we tend to do? I'm speaking me too. I'm including me in this. When things don't go our way, We don't like that. Don't like that at all. You know, all of the great biblical heroes experienced and responded favorably to a divine interruption. God disrupted their regular routines in a huge, huge way. Abram was comfortable in Ur of the Chaldees, that land, but God called him on a journey of faith. Man, this was a powerful journey. God says, pack your bags, move out, I'll tell you where to go on the way. Would you be able to do that? Loaded in a truck, head down the road, I'll tell you where we're going on the way. I don't know if I could do that. I want to know where we're going. But he packed it up. He headed out. A journey of faith. Moses was comfortable herding sheep in the wilderness. But God's people needed a deliverer. So God moved him to be that deliverer. It wasn't his plan. Jonah was comfortable preaching in Israel, but Nineveh needed to hear from God. Nehemiah was comfortable as the king's cupbearer, but the walls of Jerusalem needed to be rebuilt. Mary was comfortable living her young, simple life, but the angel Gabriel brought her a life-changing message. Peter, he was comfortable being a fisherman, but Jesus saw another purpose for his life. Paul was comfortable as a Pharisee, but God needed a great church planter. And with the exception of Paul, it's not that any of them were doing anything wrong. It's just that God had a different plan, a different purpose for them to fulfill. Y'all ever been there? Man, you had your plan laid out. You had every step of the way laid out. You knew exactly what you're going to do. And then God says, watch this. He says, hold my Diet Coke. Watch this. I'm sure God drinks Diet Coke. That is a holy drink. Diet Coke. I know some of y'all are thinking, no, God drinks sweet tea. But he could, but that's it. Of course, one of us in our family says, no, Dr. Pepper is the holy water. I'm getting sidetracked here. God shows up and changes our plans. And I don't know if you've been there. I've been there. That shakes things up when God shows up and changes your plans. This reminds me of some wise counsel given to us in the Old Testament. Proverbs 16:9 says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Proverbs 19:21 says, there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. Planning's a good thing. I think it's a great thing. We should always, though, stay flexible and allow God to work. Allow him to tweak or even radically change what we had in mind. People make their plans based on what they see at the time. And often those plans are good plans. Don't get me wrong. They're good plans. But God sees the end from the beginning. He knows every step of the way for your life and my life and everybody else's life. We don't see that. We might have an idea what might happen tomorrow or next week. We don't know for certain. We make our plans, but you know, God can change things. Sometimes he shows us more things as time goes on. And when that happens, our plans need to be superseded by his plans. We tear the notebook page of our plans out of the notebook, and we put his page in our notebook. Many people never progress in the will of God for their lives because they aren't willing to leave their preconceived plans. God, I've been working on this plan all my life. This is what I want to do. And now you're saying, not that, but this over here. We whine, we complain, we moan. Oh God, please don't make me do this. Listen, let me just say one thing real quick. If God's got a plan for our lives, you can guarantee it's a good plan. You can write it down. You can mark it in the book. God's plans are good plans. Now, I'm not saying they're easy plans, but they're good plans. As humans, we tend to be creatures of habit. We like certainty and predictability, and by golly, we want to be in control. And if we're not careful, though, holding on to what we think and what we're comfortable with can cause us to miss the will of God. The key to handling this kind of interruption is to get God's take on it. Go to God. See what He has to say about it. Now, a betrothal, an ancient engagement, was a whole lot more than today's engagements. You know, today's engagements is kind of like dating. You can date and break up. You can date and break up. You can date and break up. And then next thing you know, they get engaged and break up. Get engaged and break up. And then next thing you know, they get married and break up. And get married and break up. Get married and break up. Well, listen, this betrothal period was nothing like that. It was a legally binding arrangement. The only way out of this betrothal period was divorce. In fact, Joseph had the right to have her stoned to death for her infidelity. Yet because he was a good man, he didn't want to harm her or even embarrass her. He decided to divorce her privately. This was Joseph's human response to a powerful interruption. But what a mistake it would have been if he'd have followed through with that. Often an interruption brings on a knee-jerk reaction. We make decisions that we would not make if we were better informed. We have to be careful that when we face an interruption, we don't react according to our own feelings and our own fears. Again, the key to handling an interruption is to get God's take on it. God, what do you got to say about this? What's your plan in all of this? Thankfully, God rescued Joseph from his error. I can imagine Joseph having learned of Mary's situation. He's tossing and turning in bed. He's trying to decide what to do. Finally, he decides that he'll divorce her privately. But while he is sleeping, an angel of the Lord appears to him in a dream. And in verse 20 it says, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all of this was done to fulfill the prophecy that was already laid out in the Old Testament, where it said, behold, the virgin shall be with child and will bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. I am so glad that God had a plan. God with us. Joseph, he woke up with a changed mind. Things are different now. He wouldn't divorce Mary. He would take her as his wife. He would help raise this miraculous child. And I'm thinking again as a dad, man, what a job that would be to raise God the Son. Wow. You see, he had gotten God's perspective on this interruption, and he was willing to do what God said. When you encounter an interruption, whatever it might be, don't react according to your own feelings and thoughts. Seek God's direction. Remember what it says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. In another translation of Scripture, the Holman Christian Standard Bible, it says, He will guide you on the right paths. I like that. He's going to guide you. If we'll listen, He'll guide us on the right path. There are three words to remember when you encounter an interruption. Here's where we're going to start filling in blanks. Y'all ready? You got out your outline, your pen, pencil, your lipstick or mascara. I mean, whatever you're writing with. I'm still thinking if somebody pulled out their mascara and tried it, that'd be hard to read. It'd be harder to read than my handwriting. All right, number one. The first word to remember when you encounter an interruption. Prayer. Prayer. The first thing to do when your life is interrupted is stop and pray. Pray for guidance. Pray for courage. Pray for help. When you look to God, listen, He will help you. Sometimes we don't like what He directs us to, so we just kind of ignore it and think, surely this can't be the plan of God? No, He would never ask me to do that. Yeah, He might. Pray. Pray about it. Number two, perspective. Put the interruption in proper perspective. How bad is it really? Sometimes interruptions are really kind of minor things when we get on the other side of them. We think they're these great life-changing things, but they aren't. They aren't. How long will it actually be all that important, what we're hanging on to? What difference will it make in eternity? Word number three, providence. Keep in mind that God, in His providence, is still in control of your life. He is. Nothing can happen to you without the permission and notice of your Father. Listen, He's still got all the hairs on your head numbered. And some of us are making it easier on Him. You know, we're kind of clearing off spots to make it where we don't have to count them. God is in control. At times, interruptions can positively redirect our lives. This was true of Mary and Joseph. This wasn't their plan. Their plans were interrupted, but oh, what an interruption. Can you imagine a more wonderful privilege or a more challenging responsibility than to be the human parents of the Son of God? What an honor to be in that position. What fear to be in that position. The direction their future took was not what they had planned. Not at all what they had planned. But it was so much better. So much better. Have you ever considered that maybe God could do that kind of thing in your life? Now, I'm not talking about, you know, being the parents of the Son of God, because He done had His, and there's not going to be any more. Jesus, when He comes back again, He is not coming as a little baby like some people think. He's coming as a conquering king. He's coming to take care of business next time He comes. So there can't be somebody who's saying, oh, well, God appeared to me in a dream, and here I'm pregnant, and it's the Son of God, because I've never been with a man. No, that only happened one time. Okay, just once. But have you ever think that maybe God can do something else that's profound in your life? Not that you'd be the parents of the Son of God, but that God would take what seems to be an interruption, an unforeseen problem, and use it to set your life on a new and better path. Have you ever thought that that might could happen to you? Let me just say this. Leave yourself open for God to do what God wants to do in your life. Don't have your plan so set in stone that you're not flexible when God calls on you. God, that's not what I planned, so therefore I am not doing it. No, if God tells you to do something, do it. Yeah, the other side, there's another side to this though. Make sure it's God telling you to do something. There's a lot of people who blame stupid stuff on God. Well, God told me to rob this bank. Shoot this person. God told me to sin. God does not tell us to sin. If God tells you something that goes against God's word, listen, it ain't from God. There are other spiritual forces at work in the world today. It ain't from God. Now, God can take a bad thing and He can turn it into a good thing. He can do that. He can take our mistakes and our failures and our and all this other kind of stuff that we do, and He can turn those into good things in our lives. Lessons learned. But listen, God will never lead us to do anything that goes against His word. Never. So make sure it's from God. And then if it is from God, do it. Do it. Sounds easy, doesn't it? Yeah, God, yeah, I'll just do that. When it alters everything you got planned. It's tough. Whatever interruption you might be enduring right now, why not look at it in a different light and ask God, what are you using? Are you using this to do something great in my life? Are you using this interruption to my plans to do something great in my life? That's a good question to ask God. Oh, you know, another thing I figured out about God is He's not afraid of a question. There's never been a question that caused Him to go back and say, oh, I hadn't thought about that. Never. Never. After you ask this, then begin to look for the marvelous things God's going to do. Because if He is laying out a plan for you life, I promise you it is a marvelous plan. It is a great plan. It might take you down a path that you had never intended. You'd never dreamed you'd go down. Some of y'all in here sitting thinking, well, I'm too old for God to change my life now. Oh, really? Is that a challenge to God? God, I dare you to change my life. Listen, God's liable to take you up on that dare. So if you're sitting there thinking, well, I'm too old for this. I'm too old for God to do something different in my life. No, you're not. No, you're not. Whatever interruption you may be experiencing this Christmas, there's one thing you can do. You can stop and you can give thanks to God for Jesus Christ. If you can't give thanks to God for whatever is lost in your life, and sometimes we can't. When we lose a relationship, it's hard to go to God and say, God, I thank you for making me lose that relationship. When you lose something important to you, you know, material things, they can be somewhat important, but usually the most important things are people. And when you lose that, it's hard to go to God and say, God, I thank you for taking so-and-so out of my life when you loved them dearly and desperately. It's hard to give thanks to God for the circumstance. It is always easy to give thanks to God for Jesus. And that's where the priority needs to be. So this year, as you're getting your Christmas plans ready, how many of y'all already got the tree up? Okay, what's taking you so long? Get them up. Okay? You got the lights on the house. You're starting to see packages under the tree. You know, this kind of stuff is happening. You got your plans made. Don't be surprised if God says, oh, but wait. Let me show you something different. I'd be honest with you, I don't like it when God does that to me. I really don't. I'm kind of like y'all. I like my plans because they're my plans. And I want to do what my plans are. And then when God shows up and say, listen, boy, I know better for you than you know for you. And I got a different plan for your life. Again, I'm not real excited when that happens. Because I like it my way. I'm just like the guy going to Burger King. You know, I can have it my way at Burger King. You know, hold the pickles, hold the lettuce. Special orders don't upset us. Y'all remember the commercial? Or am I just the only one who remembers that? Oh, yes. Is that you, lettuce? Serve it your way or have it your way or whatever it is. Have it your way at Burger King. I want it my way. But my way is not always God's way. And what I think might be good, God's way is best. Not just better, it's best. So when God brings an interruption on us here in Christmas time, let's stop and thank God for Jesus Christ. By the way, Christmas time is all about Him anyway. It ain't about us. It's about Jesus. The greatest gift anyone could ever receive. Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, I'm so thankful for Jesus. Father, I pray that I can get to the point where I'll be thankful for the interruptions you send my way. Until then, Lord, help me just be obedient. Help me do what you say. Lord, I pray that for this church family, that all of us would simply be obedient. Do what you say. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.